It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Bernie Madoff, Brian Doyle Murray, Joey Devine, Robert Kardashian, Dorcas Riley, inventor of the green bean casserole, Sean King, J. Paul Raines, the deceased founder of GameStop, Watergate burglar Frank Sturgis, Patreons, Silky, thank you Silky, Jake Pollock, thank you, Jake. Alex Toledo. Thank you, Alex. Musical guest, David Draven from Disturbed. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock. Special guest, Matt Austin. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast. And for listeners who are familiar with the show, you might recognize those names as former contestants in Alumni March Madness, which is what we're doing today. Our special adjudicator is here from the Is This Good podcast, formerly of the Starters. It's Matty O himself, Matt Austin. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Sean. Thank you for going back and correcting your mistake and re-adding me to the intro.
that could have been brutal. Matt, you have a podcast called Is This Good, where you decide whether things are or are not good. You're a big decision maker. Today, we're going to be asking you to make 31 big decisions as you decide who from the Alumni East and the Alumni West will advance to the 2024 Alumni Final Four.
I mean, that's a lot of responsibility. I hope, my only hope is that I don't make the same mistake as last year, where once we got done reading all the teams on my side of the bracket, you said the same team again, and I said, I think you're making a mistake. You already said that team. And then you were like, no, we just said the first part of the bracket. Now we got to move on. And all these teams have to play against each other.
Yeah. Well, won't be making that mistake. Sometimes when you have to answer 16 questions in a row, you're not expecting to have to answer 8 of them right away again.
Yeah.
So a little bit of history for Alumni March Madness. We started this back in 2020 when there was not an NCAA tournament at all. And so we decided that in the absence, this was something that happened a lot in the pandemic. Things didn't happen. And then something very elaborate and imaginary happened. This is actually still plaguing former NBA general manager Isaiah Thomas now. He is still haunted by imaginary things happening during the pandemic. But we used Joe Lenardi's sad pre-pandemic bracket that he tweeted after the tournament had been canceled before Selection Sunday, where he's like, I'm pretty sure this would have been the bracketology. So just a little history to honor the alumni who have gone before it. 2020, our Final Four was journalist Gary Webb, who reported on the CIA bringing crack cocaine into inner cities and died under mysterious circumstances. Kim Deal from the Breeders, obviously, and the Pixies. David Angel, the creator of Wings, who died in 9/11, and our 2020 champion, the author of the song Round Ball Rock, John Tesh, was our champion. In 2021, the Final Four Go ahead, Joey.
I just said fitting.
Oh, yeah. 2021, we had actor / comedian J.B. Smoove, outsider artist Daniel Johnston, Huell Hauser, California enthusiast, and the winner John Hinckley Jr., a unsigned musician, big Jodie Foster fan, and he attempted to assassinate Ronald Reagan. 2022, the final four was Today Show host Hoda Kotb, Tony Soprano, the first fictional character to reach the final four, Crime Stopper Nancy Grace, and our winner, Michael Jackson's personal physician, Dr. Conrad Murray. Last year, the final four included legendary actor Robert Loggia, crossword king Will Shorts, Terry Kaiser, the actor who played Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's, and our 2023 champion, the late great Chris Farley. So it's a lot to live up to for these alumni. And we have some new schools this year. We're welcoming Duquesne. We're welcoming back the incredibly stacked alumni bench of Colgate University. I believe this is our first year with Stetson as well, Joey.
It is definitely Stetson's first year. Of course, the cowboy hat was invented there.
Uh-huh.
I'm making that up. I don't know.
And just for your edification, Drake University did not, that rapper Aubrey did not go there. He did not go there. But he took his name from there because he was so impressed by all the alumni.
He's from Canada, just like Matty O. Yeah.
That's right. That's why I am here to confirm everything you're saying.
Yeah. So how we did it this year, normally one of us will take the high seeds. Normally one of us will take the low seeds. But Sean and I sort of forgot how brackets work. And I took the odd numbers and Sean took the even ones.
Mm-hmm. So we could battle.
Yeah. Sean, would you like, you have some play-in, you have a play-in tournament.
Do you want to do the West first then?
Side of the bracket. Do you want to? Let's do the West first. Sure. I was going to say, so Matty O is doing the East and West sides of the bracket. That is our Matty O bracket this year.
Yes. So our plan.
Why don't you do our play-in?
Yeah. Great. Wagner College, our alumnus, is 90-year-old sexologist Beverly Whipple, who was the first person to ever mention the G-spot in an academic article. It's from 1981. It's called Female Ejaculation, a Case Study. Not until 1981. We're sorry, ladies. Sorry about that. Beverly Whipple. They're facing Howard University. which, you know, legendary, historically black college. And because of that, we are picking the most appropriate alumnus, Rachel Dolezal. Yes. a lot of people expected us to pick Chadwick Boseman. His family was here, but the Academy chose Dolezal at the last minute. So, Beverly, that's your first choice, Matt. Rachel Dolezal versus sexologist Beverly Whipple.
Wow. Already just a wow here. You're directing me towards danger. I'm on a log ride and there's many different tributaries that I could go down where I'm going to fall over the falls.
Yeah.
Whipple, Beverly Whipple. Rhymes with
Nipple. What a name, right?
And I wonder if that's how she got into the female sex racket. And it's interesting because this talking about, I forget what the study was called, Studies in Female Ejaculation, 1981. Mm-hmm. And we still don't know what squirting is, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. So her work is very controversial.
We don't know what's in it. There'll be a clickbait article comes across her Twitter every few months saying we figured it out. And then they never do. So let's go Beverly Whipple, because I think we've all heard the name Rachel Dolezal too much. We don't want to hear it again.
Okay. All right. Joey, who's our Tar Heel?
Oh, well, our Tar Heel is, of course, the lead singer of the band Stillwater, actor Billy Crudup.
Wow.
Almost famous from The Morning Show. Dr. Manhattan himself, Billy Crudup, went to North Carolina.
Wow. Stillwater, a lot of young groupies for that band.
I would say the best band since the band from Daisy Jones and the Six. Actually, which is just Daisy Jones and the Six, but
yeah.
They're the Beatles and the Stones of fictional 70s rock bands.
One thing that I really like about the TV adaptation is that they just realized they had too many characters, so they made like a Ben Folds 5 joke about the band's makeup. They're we don't need that extra guitarist from the novel. They're just joking around. They're just joshing with the name. All right, so it's Crudup or Whipple?
I think that I'm going to enjoy saying the name Whipple for much longer than I'll enjoy saying the name Crudup. Even though he's a great actor, people tell me, best part of the morning show. Wouldn't know.
He is the best. Well, he is the best part of the morning show by far.
So I'm going to have to put the fever dog down. It's time for Whipple to step up.
Love it. Love it.
All right. That brings us to number 8, Mississippi State versus number 9, Michigan State. Mm-hmm. I had Michigan State, and I took the man who has caught so many predators from Dateline NBC, Chris Hansen.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's very good. I almost went with a crime expert, but I'm going to save this one. I'm going with a man who's taught so many predators about what's awaiting for them after their life of sin. It's the front man for Squirrel Nut Zippers, Jimbo Mathis. Jimbo Mathis, who studied Latin at Mississippi State. And he lets you know what'll happen in the afterlife. Satan greets you and says, "Who are those wine coolers for?"
Jimbo, given name?
No, he changed the spelling of his last name to make it look more, to honor his and his mother's love of Latin, which obviously comes out in the Squirrel Nut Zippers music. His website, for some reason, is therealjimbomathis.com. His real name is James Mathis Jr.
Okay, so I guess if you're that hep, like a hep cat?
Yeah.
Is that just a hip cat, but like say it in a cooler way? Or does hep have its own meaning?
You know, if you do a lot of crosswords, you would be asking yourself that question all the time. From what I can tell, it mostly comes down to what the down words are in the grid, which one you use.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's such a useful crossword word that, it's probably every other day you have to make that decision with the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Hep is its own word in the Britannica dictionary. Mm. It's slang, old fashioned for having or showing knowledge about the newest things in music, fashion, etc.
So hip.
Yes. What if we took the word hip but made it sound like it was short for hepatitis? Would that be just as cool?
Also, I feel like hep has like an aging man quality where you're like, is he just making sure I know that saxophone player is black? Like, is that why he said hep instead? I don't know.
Well, obviously the answer is Jimbo Mathis here, because I am fascinated, I'm sure like both of you, by the swing revivalism of the mid-90s. And right now, you know, the name Big Bad Voodoo Daddy sticking out of my head. And I'm going to think of more swing bands as we go on. Brian Setzer Orchestra, you know, they're going to come through. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to enjoy trying to force in some swing references.
I'm gonna give you one sentence from this Wikipedia page. I did not know Squirrel Nut Zippers were a husband and wife act, but apparently they used Jimbo's knowledge of theater, early American music, and leadership, along with Waylon's fashion and vocal style. Many of those things are knowledge.
Also, Andrew Bird from the fourth season of Fargo, famously musician, famously in the Squirrel Nut Zippers. He's the one who played the violin.
Yeah, he's homeschooled, however, so he was home.
I just blew Matt's mind.
Whoa, no, because it's cool. Like when you get, if you're a violin player and and the Nut Zips ask you to come on board, you're like, I know I'm going to get to use my violin. Whereas, like, you know what I'm saying? If you get on to, like, I don't know, the Journey revival tour. I don't know why Journey popped in my head. But, like, you know, maybe you're playing strings on, like, one or two songs, just doing a couple of slow accents. But Squirrel Nut Zippers, you're using that fiddle to its full capabilities.
Yeah, and you can actually look at a lot of that on the real Andrew Bird from SquirrelNutZippers.com. So that's his personal website now, the real. Okay, our next matchup, it's a 5-12. It's St. Mary's College from neighboring Moraga, California, with Grand Canyon University, a school that is almost certainly a scam for a lot of things. It has an 83% acceptance rate.
Look, this guy has become a fixture in the tournament because the only other person who went to St. Mary's is Mahershala Ali, and I feel like it's unfair to choose Mahershala Ali because he's so beloved.
Well, he's a basketball player, too. We try not to pick basketball players. He was on the basketball team.
So once again, for I think the fourth year in a row appearing for St. Mary's is, of course, Bill Murray's brother, Brian Doyle Murray.
This is really weird that he ended up going to St. Mary's, too. Like, how did he end up there?
I don't know.
Are you going to give me any credits?
Oh, yeah.
Caddyshack. Of course, he's the head of the caddies in Caddyshack.
Also co-wrote the movie.
Co-wrote the movie. Groundhog Day. He's, of course, he's basically in a lot of the Bill Murray movies.
Does he look like him?
Yes. I would say you would recognize him, I believe. Here, hold on. Let me drop a photo.
His voice kind of sounds like this.
Yeah, you like this guy.
Okay. You know, it's a crazy story. So I was in Times Square like 6 years ago, and I felt someone pinch my butt. And I turned around, and it was a guy, and he went, "They'll never believe you." And I was like, "I don't even know who you are." And he was like, "Oh, I'm Brian Doyle Murray." And I still know. And he was like, "Do you know my brother Bill Murray? Because he does this stuff, and people talk. It's great. People talk about it on the internet." And I was like, "Oh, okay. But that's, I don't think it works for you, Brian Doyle Murray." So hopefully that's the last time you ever pinched anyone on the butt.
I have dropped the Brian Doyle Murray photo in the chat.
Oh, I know exactly who this is, and he does look a lot like Bill Murray. Okay, great.
Learning. He runs Noah's Arcade in Wayne's World. He plays Skunk in Cabin Boy. Obviously, Uncle Morty in Daddy Day Camp. He plays Jack Ruby in JFK. I forgot about that one. Oh my god, what an odd choice. Okay.
Right, so John, who's appearing for Grand Canyon University?
From Grand Canyon University, he's a legend. This is a limited bench. I know we usually don't choose basketball figures, but this guy is a Canadian legend. He drafted Rafael Araujo. He drafted Charlie Villanueva. He traded Vince Carter to the New Jersey Nets. Rob Babcock, RIP.
Rob Babcock, hometown hero. Rafael Araujo. What a name. What a name. I haven't heard that name in years. Pretty easy for me. I'm going BDM. Brian Doyle Murray.
I can't really argue with that one.
He went to, I don't think he's ever gone past a round, so I think this might be
I think it's his time
for him.
He's advanced before.
Oh, he has. Okay, well, you know what? Yes, David Roth has definitely picked Brian Doyle Murray before.
I believe Josh Androsky also advanced him, but I'm not sure.
All right, Sean, our next matchup is, of course, number 4, Alabama versus number 13, Charleston. I had Charleston, and you might know this man. He's a singer-songwriter. He'll be your crying shoulder. That is Edwin McCain. McCain went to Charleston.
Wow. You know, This guy is a big figure. He's been described by author Tom Robbins as a neuronaut. Some guys go to school to get a PhD. This guy went to school and got an LSD. I'm talking about Timothy Leary.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. You know what's embarrassing? I associate Edmund McCain with like a lot of those 90s singer-songwriter one-hit wonders. And recently, Sean Mullins' Rockabye, or I guess it's called Lullaby. Uh-huh. You know what song I'm talking about? And so
I karaoke that song, Matt.
Oh,
it's so
okay,
terrible.
Wonderful.
That song is horrible. I love karaokeing that terrible song.
Okay, so I was thinking, because I'm at this point not that new to Los Angeles, but I've been here, what, like three-ish years, and I thought when that song popped in my head, I was like, I wonder if I'll appreciate this song more now that I live in Los Angeles and I get all the references. And it was still about the same.
You appreciate it less. Yeah.
It was still about the same.
Yeah, it's terrible. Hey, Lullaby by Sean Mullins is not a good song.
Let me throw another 90s one-hit wonder at you that never gets talked about that popped into my head yesterday, which is why I'm asking. Geggy Ta. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah. All I want to do is to thank you.
Thank you. Even though I don't know who you are, you let me change lanes while I was driving in my car.
What I love too is, you know what? I wouldn't mind that song as much, except for the last verse, because at first it's like change lanes. He's doing the weird thing, but then at the end, the last verse is, all I want to do. It's like, he starts talking about Radio LA.
Yes.
We're broadcasting live and we want to hear all of y'all. And I'm like, come on, man. Stick to the subject.
Holy shit. That's another LA song. I got to listen to that in the car.
Yeah.
Now see if it has, you know, when I'm on the 110, if it has any renewed interest to me. And I would like to crank it up, roll my windows down and say, all I want to do is to thank you. Just mouth those words as it's playing to the person that let me merge. You know what? I got to make myself a note. I got a busy day tomorrow.
I think there's a lot of LA songs like that. And in fact, you can see the discography of Cake and notice when they start spending a lot of time in LA, because initially their car songs are like, he's driving so far, he can't be stopped. I don't want to wear a seatbelt. And then at the end, all these songs are like, there's so many cars. This is a line of traffic. I'm in a parking lot and all I see is cars. And that is a man from Sacramento, the land of ample parking and extremely wide boulevards, moving to LA and hating it in his little hat.
All right. So let's get to the task at hand here. I want to just say right now. This is my toughest one so far. I'm going to have to say that it's time for Timothy Leary to turn on Tune In and drop out of this competition.
Congratulations.
Because Edmund McCain is my survival. He's my living proof.
I feel like I'm on the Straight Talk Express right now because the McCain train is chugging along.
Also, McCain, a delicious, giant conglomerate in Canada. They sell everything from a lasagna to a frosted cake to a frozen potato. So I do want to shout out to McCain, one of our great Canadian corporations.
I guess got to look at what Edmund McCain looks like now, and it made me really like him. Like a really aggressive soul patch now.
It's like you show me his picture and I'm like, that's just Brian Doyle Murray.
Yeah. He could probably play the McCain story. Okay, our next. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
We've got number 6 Clemson versus number 11 New Mexico.
I had New Mexico and I took. He's a wrestling legend. He comes from a family of wrestlers. He is not going to pass, but I had to take him. The Black Tiger himself, El Caliente, the Mascara Magica, Latino Heat. It's Eddie Guerrero, the wrestler who flipped around a lot.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick a guy who, you know, he had one of the stranger career paths of someone in Hollywood. He came to Clemson University to study chemical engineering and participate in full contact karate. And he ran out of chemical engineering. I'm talking about Dolph Lundgren, everybody.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren, who turned down a Fulbright scholarship to become Grace Jones's lover slash bodyguard. And he was be a bouncer alongside Chaz Palminteri.
I've got to say, Sean, this is going to be a first for us later in this bracket. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Something else might happen here.
Okay.
That is going to be surprising.
Interesting. I can't remember if you said this to me last year, but do you know who's picking what? So you try to find people that will be good going against each other, or does Sean pick and then it's
Sean picks, I pick, then fate. Fate intervenes.
Thank you for your integrity. I do appreciate that. This is an easy one for me. Dolph, an early action hero of mine.
Yeah.
Universal Soldier. That's what's sticking out in my head. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be the Universal Soldier that takes me to the promised land.
Yeah, it's wild. All right. So our next matchup is number 3 Baylor versus number 14 Colgate. Mm-hmm. Sean has been claiming Colgate has a very deep bench.
There's a lot to choose from at Colgate. I don't know a lot about Colgate, but on the alumni page, they've participated in the tournament before, but each member of Broken Lizard, the comedy troupe that brought us Super Troopers, Beer Fest, the Slammin' Salmon, and Super Troopers 2, as well as Tacoma FD. But they've been in the tournament before. I went with Ben Cohen. Do you know who Ben Cohen is?
No.
Most people think his last name is actually Ann Jerry's. That's right. Ben Cohen, ice cream superstar, did not graduate from Colgate. Mm-hmm. Ben of Ben and Jerry's.
Mm. All right. Ironically, Colgate, a good thing to use after you've eaten a lot of Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah,
Matt, I have to say, I almost put Aqua Fresh as the ironically, but no one would have believed that.
Aqua Fresh, the most delicious toothpaste if you're going to be swallowing some of it.
Ben from Ben and Jerry's is taking on the man who created Hannibal Lecter, author of The Silence of the Lambs, of Red Dragon, of Hannibal. It's Thomas Harris.
Thomas Harris. Well,
he's definitely been in the tournament before. I believe he was in the very first edition of the tournament. The other Baylor representative that we've had before, Puppet King Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I think we talked Dunham last year, actually.
Yeah.
That does sound familiar. You know, I'm going to go with my Jewish brother, Ben Cohen, on this one. Is Jerry also Jewish? Jerry Garcia, I think, right? That's the other guy that's in it.
No, that's Cherry Garcia.
Oh, that's Cherry Garcia.
Jerry Greenfield? Yeah. I'm going to say yes.
Okay, Sean.
His
that's
name is actually Jerry Moose Tracks.
Okay.
Wow, I'm really making some... He is Jewish.
Yeah, no, you didn't need to look that up.
They met in junior high. Yeah, you're right.
You looked that up so you wouldn't get canceled.
That's very troubling. I don't know about these guys from Long Island.
I'm gonna go with Ben. I mean, maker of so many delicious ice creams. Yep. I once toured the Ben and Jerry's factory in Vermont, and I remember them making a joke about how they were gonna do an ice cream called Gorba Chunks. That's right, folks, Gorba Chunks. That's how old I am.
Wow.
All right. So our next matchup is number 7 Dayton versus number 10 Nevada. Sean, why don't you give us the low seed first here?
Yeah, so my first choice was actually forced out of the tournament by the Disney Corporation. Gina Carano, I'm sorry we couldn't have you there, but we will have you on our new podcast that we're recording in Austin, Texas this year. So yeah. who we have instead is Robert Bigelow. Now, Robert Bigelow, you may know, I believe he, what is his company called? Sorry. I almost said it's he made Budget Suites of America, the long-term hotel place, which he decided to make because when he was 12 years old, he decided that he wanted to do space travel, and he just tried to make as much money as possible. He developed an inflatable space station that did not work. He also laid off people. He has sued NASA. He also funds anomalies research, including cattle mutilation, Black Triangle. He owned the Skinwalker Ranch, which apparently is home to interdimensional space shifters. And he funneled lots of money and lobbying to try to get former Senator Harry Reid to study UFOs. Robert Bigelow, also really big, Ron DeSantis's biggest supporter. So that's why he also studies life after death.
As a palate cleanser here, I'd like to congratulate my representative from the University of Dayton on winning this matchup. And that is, of course, Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson.
But hold on a second. How's that possible? Bart Simpson is a boy and Nancy Cartwright is a woman.
Gender is I hate to tell you about what most little boys voiced are. Cartoon little boys are mostly voiced by women, Matt.
But you know, going back to the 90s, the first time you learned that fact, that was a powerful fact to know.
Oh my God.
You could go back to the schoolyard and blow people's minds with that fact. Now, we all know it. I just need to check on something. Is Robert Bigelow, does he have anything to do with Bigelow Tea, a tea brand that I have?
I had the same question.
Oh, I think no, but let me check real fast.
Babe, throw out all the tea!
No, it is based on somebody named Ruth Bigelow. It is a family-owned business, and he is not in their family. It is run by two co-CEOs, David and Eunice Bigelow.
Hopefully we see those Bigelows in the tournament someday, because everybody loves that little sleepy time bear.
So cute.
The sleepy time bear was actually legally adopted by and was the acting CEO from 2004 to 2007. That's crazy.
I don't know how he was getting any work done being so cozy.
Well, you know, he fucked one of the Charmin bears, and that's why he got demoted. Yeah.
Wow, canceled. Yeah. All right, hopefully I take it after Bart Simpson's they wiped. Taking this one, right?
Wow, Coach K over here lobbying the officials.
Yeah, Nancy, you're going forward. You did a multitude of voices. I know you didn't just do Bart. You did many. I've seen a clip of you doing all the voices. And you are an American treasure.
Yeah. All right. And our final matchup for this bracket is number 2, Arizona versus number 15, Long Beach State. Ooh, I've got to say, Long Beach State had a lot of excellent choices to represent them. Steven Spielberg, Penelope Spheeris, Steve Martin, Stan Winston, the makeup man, the Hollywood makeup man. But
his first creature shot was in Long Beach.
Yeah. Because it was Long Beach, I was legally obligated to pick the daddy who got a new 45 himself, the lead singer of Sublime, Bradley Nowell, is your 15th seed for Long Beach State.
Congratulations to Bradley. I'm glad he made it, you know. Also, if you're in Long Beach, basically you're just going to hear Sublime all the time. Or at any Freebirds burrito location in a California college town that thinks they have the only Freebirds in the world. All right, Arizona. Adam Silver made me kick out my top choice, Robert Sarver. So we're going with a TV legend. It's Earl Hinton, who played Neighbor Wilson on Home Improvement. He's peeking at the top of his head over this bracket.
God, I was like, this is so easy until I learned who Earl Hinton was. The top of that man's face. No, you know, my friend and who guy you know, Skeets, yes, always used to make a joke that when he dies and he has an open casket, will it be up until here? You know? But I can't pick him because Bradley Knoll is still making people at the beach happy. He invented smoking weed, and people are still loving it to this day. And, you know, when I got my first COVID shot, a memory I'll never forget, because I died soon after, the only appointment I could find was in Long Beach at the CVS in Long Beach. And I pumped Sublime so hard on the way to that vaccine appointment. And I feel like Brad really carried me through both doses of Pfizer. And I have to thank him for that. So Bradley Knoll, king of the semi off brand summer music festival, you're in.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Bradley.
Did you guys
Bradley
hear
Knoll.
That Rome is suing Sublime?
Yeah,
the city or the band?
Because there's also Sublime,
you know, Sublime with Rome,
right? Oh, well, okay.
Sublime with Rome. The guy Rome from Sublime with Rome is now suing the members of Sublime and trying to tour as Sublime with Rome, I believe.
Well, do you know who's now Sublime's singer?
It's his son, right?
Bradley Knoll's son.
Jacob.
No, Rome. Yeah. Rome's son. That's why Rome is so upset.
He's thinking about for his own son.
So Sublime with Rome announced a farewell tour that had none of the original members of Sublime, and now they're suing each other.
Who is he? Who's left?
The judge is like, sir, all roads lead to Rome is not a valid legal argument, so I don't know.
They were just being Sublime, and then Bradley Knoll's like, come on now. And they're like, well, we're Sublime with Rome, this band that started 13 years after he died.
All right. Sean, do we want to get our champion of this bracket, or should we move on to the
Let's close it out, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go at the top. We've got a 16-8 matchup. Beverly Whipple or Jimbo Mathis?
From the Squirrel Nut
The
Zippers.
G-spot or we got female ejaculation or squirrels nutting.
What college is Squirrel Nut guy again?
Mississippi State.
Okay.
And Wagner.
Okay. Mississippi State is going to be zipping him up. Because the Squirrel Nut Zippers are progressing. And I swear to God, by the end of the podcast, I will think of the other song that they sang.
Well, you heard it here first, guys. Matty O does not care about women, sexual.
I do.
The G-spot. You can't find the G-spot.
This is the G-spot, lady. Okay, what about clitoral orgasms? You need two different kinds? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we only have one.
She's like, sorry, I just whip. I'm all about the power. All right, your next matchup, number 5 St. Mary's has Brian Doyle Murray facing number 13 Charleston's Edwin McCain.
Look, he's got Wynn in his name, so I'm going Edwin McCain.
Congratulations on the sweet, sweet 16 there. Number 6 Clemson's Dolph Lundgren versus number 14 Colgate's Ben and Jerry.
Let's be honest.
That is that's a hard matchup.
For a second rounder, that's
I think Dolph's gonna punish him. You see, because he was the punisher.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was the punisher.
Yeah, he was the punisher. Sorry, Ben.
I mean, look, that's what happens when your ice cream's full of puns, you know? You get punished.
Exactly.
And then number 7, Dayton's Nancy Cartwright. From number 15, Long Beach State's Bradley Nowell. Two 90s legends.
This is difficult. Two weed smokers. Let's be honest. Bart Simpson would grow up to smoke a lot of weed and like the Sublime.
I don't know. He could go like super Christian. You don't know.
Fair enough.
So you're saying Nancy Cartwright versus Bradley Nowell.
Mm-hmm. It's what the Church of Scientology versus the Church of Rastafarianism.
Well, if you're asking me what I got.
Oh, Santeria. I'm sorry. What am I saying? He's the Church of Santeria. Oh, wait. Sorry. He doesn't practice Santeria. That was a common mistake.
Really lost
common here, mistake.
Hold on. You thought he had a crystal ball? He has no crystal ball. Yeah. Now, he did have $1 million, yeah. But unfortunately.
Yeah.
It went to legal fees to fight Rome.
He's suing Rome.
Well, let's see if we can get Bradley. Oh, no, we can't get Bradley versus Edwin, right? Eventually, can we?
We could, in theory.
It's possible.
Yeah.
In theory, it's possible.
They could meet in the Elite Eight.
Right. Let's get Bradley. Let's move him on here.
All right. We have got, all right, Sweet 16 matchups here. It's Jimbo Mathis versus Edwin McCain.
Oh, okay. So this is our musical. Yeah. Like, there's no way that Edwin can defeat the swing and Zydeco rhythms of the Squirrel Nut Zippers. He's going to have him in a haze. He's going to be like, oh, just when you're comfortable with the guitar and the violin, boom, he hits you with a washboard and Edwin crumbles. Yeah. So Jimbo, you're moving up.
All right, and then our other Elite Eight matchup, Bradley Nowell, Dolph Lundgren.
Bradley Nowell and Dolph Lundgren. Ooh. Well, if he dies, he dies. You're out of here, Dolph. I'm riding Bradley as far
all
as
all right. I... And now we've got right. A huge matchup to determine the final four. Will it be the Squirrel Nut Zippers or Sublime? One man who died in 1996.
It's the ska revival.
Yeah,
I know. This is tough.
Man whose career died in 1996 and a man whose life died in 1996.
Oh, 40 Nuts to Freedom. That, if they collab, that's what it would be called. You know what? Just for pure chaos, I'm going to take the spoon man himself, Jimbo. He's
wow.
Next round.
Incredible. I'm going to see.
That is quite an upset.
So here are some other singles. These did not chart.
Hell. Hell was the second
Hell,
one.
Well, Hell's their first right. one.
No, Hell's
What's the
big
first one?
One.
Oh, Hell's the first one. No. Yeah.
They
is
also
that song called Hell?
Yeah, that's the one in the afterlife.
Yeah, it's called Hell.
Yeah.
They also released from the album Hot the song Put a Lid on It.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Da-na-na-na-na, put a lid on. It's like a song where you can hear someone taking on and off their hat as the song. Put a lid on it. Also, the theme song for the famous mall store Lids.
Oh, yeah. They also, yeah, these yeah, did not chart sense. From perennial favorites, Suits Are Picking Up the Bill. And don't Ghost of it. Stephen Foster.
Don't know it. But I assume at the end of this podcast, Sean, you will have a parody song based on.
I will. Yeah.
All right, Sean, should we move to the east side of the bracket?
Moving to the east. Congratulations to Jimbo Mathis.
He zipped up that bracket. I cannot believe he went that far. All right.
I mean, it kind of makes sense at every step, but also is baffling.
All right. Number 1, we have UConn versus number 16, Stetson. Sean, who has shown up for Stetson?
Okay, so I really wanted to pick Jacqueline Stapp, who is Scott Stett's wife. And who wrote a children's book called Wacky Jackie, The True Story of an Unlikely Beauty Queen. But I went with John W. Pilley, who is a behavioral psychologist who taught his dog Chaser to understand over 1,000 words, despite receiving this dog as a gift for his 74th birthday. He taught Chaser to understand 1,000 words. So John W. Pilley.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the strongest candidate, but I really didn't. I just didn't want Creed to go any further.
He might be able to beat this guy who is lame. From number one UConn, you might know him from his insanely popular album, Play. He's heading to the South Side. It's Moby.
Well, you know what? This is an easy one for me because I blame this Pilly character for every stupid Instagram Reels video I see of someone with those buttons on the floor and their dog is like, Buster, treat. Buster, love you. Buster, outside. You know, and they're like, see, he's speaking English. He understands. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. And, you know, we already have Pavlov. He's the goat of dog, you know, scientists, dog-related scientists. We don't need Pilly. Moby, can you come back sometime? Yeah, you can. Right now.
He advanced. Congratulations to Moby.
Moby, and sorry to Natalie Portman. All right.
Yeah, she actually he actually FAU. Claimed he won. He told her he won March Madness. Weird.
Number
I believe FAU. He advanced. I believe he advanced the last time he was in this tournament. So congratulations.
And of course, join us for first day of March Madness. We will be at Little Pine watching all the festivities. Yeah. So please join us there.
Yeah. I believe he was kicked out of the ownership group of Little Pine now, though, because he was canceled.
Oh, now we have to find a new place to host. Damn it.
It's number 8 FAU versus number 9 Northwestern. I had Northwestern.
Deep bench.
And I chose... Very deep bench. Basically, every comedy person ever went to Northwestern because they were trying to go to Second City. But I chose a non-comedy person and also a person who did not graduate. The host of This American Life, Ira Glass.
Okay.
All right. Well, you chose a very classy representative from Northwestern. I went the other direction with Florida Atlantic. I went with comedian Scott Thompson. Now, you might think, oh, the Canadian from Kids in the Hall. No, this is a man more universally known as Carrot Top.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
College graduate. Carrot Top.
Well,
Ira Glass couldn't make it
all
through,
those props.
But Carrot Top has a degree. I mean, I assume
well,
Ira Glass graduated
went to
from somewhere.
Another. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Today's question: will Ira Glass make it to Act Two? And my answer is no.
Yeah, he's not the chairman of the board.
That's right.
Carrot Top's the chairman of the board.
The chairman of the board and the honorary mayor of beautiful Las Vegas. I will tell you something old story. My parents went to see, we grew up in Montreal, so there was the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. Carrot Top would perform in the 90s. My parents went and they said, this guy was amazing. He brings a trunk out on stage and he pulls out all these funny props. Mm-hmm. And I say, like, well, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, well, he said, oh, I invented a new tennis racket for Monica Seles. And he pulls out a tennis racket and it's got like a rear view mirror on her. Because if you remember, Monica Seles was stabbed.
She got stabbed. Yeah.
So if she had only had a tennis racket with a mirror on it, she could have seen behind her. And that's the kind of comedy I want to support here.
I mean,
All right. Next is San Diego State versus UAB. Sean, Who is UAB?
Well, there are a lot of former mayors of Birmingham to choose from that make up most of the notable alumni section. I went with bobsledder Vonetta Flowers, who is the first Black athlete to win a gold medal at the Winter Olympics. Vonetta Flowers.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Unfortunately, Vonetta Flowers is taking on Action Jackson himself from The Predator, from Apollo Creed. Carl Weathers went to San Diego State.
R.I.P.
Ooh, from the handshake meme.
Rest in
he's
peace,
making
Carl
a
Weathers.
He's making a stew.
From the handshake meme.
Yeah. I only know people from
he's
memes.
Got a stew going.
He's got a stew going.
Did you guys know that he pitched that to Arrested Development?
They were just asking him to do a guest role,
and he's like, "What if I was like super cheap and just looking for free stuff all the time?"
I mean, look, I'm going with Carl Weathers because obviously, like an '80s Grady, but then the Arrested Development thing still top of mind. Who doesn't still say you got a stew?
Yeah,
like whether you're making a stew or not, it's something I still say, and I have him to thank for that. So, Carl, you're moving on. Dolph didn't make it, right?
No.
So there's room for one 80s action hero, and that is Carl Weathers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dolph couldn't get past the Sublime Train.
No.
What I got is a second round exit, Dolph.
Well, again, you guys might want to hold on that one. All right, number 4, Auburn versus number 13, Yale.
Okay.
Look, I had Yale. Yale takes a long time to figure out.
A few people have gone there over the years.
A lot of people have gone there. I chose someone. You can go really evil with Yale. I chose someone not evil. Are you also on the board? David Duchovny went to Yale. Were you guys aware of that? Weird.
No.
But I went with old-timey man David Bushnell, who invented the screw propeller, the submarine, the naval mine, and the time bomb.
What's his name again?
David Bushnell.
David Bushnell.
Hold on, he didn't invent binoculars?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
No, he did not. But he did invent the submarine, the screw propeller, the naval mine, and the time bomb. He's the first person to put a clock on a bomb during the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
In the old days, we didn't know when it would blow up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this guy has slightly different energy than our representative from Auburn. It's another recently departed man. He's in paradise now with his beloved cheeseburgers. It's Jimmy Buffett, who failed out of school very early because he was getting laid so much. It's like his newfound interest in music and women took precedence over his freshman year studies.
Mm-hmm. He couldn't focus on studying because he was too busy wishing he had a pencil thin mustache.
One of the few billionaire musicians. I still don't understand how that's possible, but apparently
it's the Margaritaville, it's the restaurants, it's the resorts, it's the land shark,
the hotels, yeah.
It's the aggressive touring.
Yeah, the marketing of Vicodin to to distressed communities, heavy investment in Bitcoin mining.
I mean, Bushnell's getting eliminated for being like, if you, this might be controversial, but if you can invent a submarine, you can invent binoculars. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are just glasses. Okay. It's right there for you. So, you're out. And, I'm going with, billionaire Buffett, not Warren, Jimmy, the better.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett was richer than Warren Buffett. Wouldn't we have to reevaluate some things? Jimmy, you're moving on.
All right.
Go ahead, John.
Number six, Brigham Young University, with number 11, new to the tournament, Duquesne.
Mm-hmm. I had Duquesne, and I gotta say, when I saw this man on the alumni list, I was shocked he went to Duquesne. He did not graduate, but he did attend there, and that is Werner Herzog.
Ooh.
You know, a man you associate with the city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, sorry, what were you saying? That he went there, he just left at some point?
Yeah, he went to he ended up going to a different school, yeah.
Okay. In America, out of curiosity, but you probably don't know.
I think so, yeah.
He went to Munich University, and then he moved to Pittsburgh to study at Duquesne. And I think he just didn't finish. He was a history and literature student.
Mm. Duquesne sounds like Werner Herzog trying to pronounce Green Day's album.
When I come around, long view.
It's a haunting tale of loneliness, boredom, and masturbation.
Yeah, initially, instead of that, I was alone, I was all by myself song, it had the audio of Timothy Treadwell's final moments at the as a hidden track.
Oh my God, we're talking hidden tracks on Green Day's Dookie. Yes. If you want to talk about the hidden track on Alanis Morissette's, Jagged Little Pill, we could talk about that too.
Yeah. BYU has a lot of people that were subsequently canceled for bad sex reasons, which is why the author of the Maze Runner series lost his spot when I looked at his Wikipedia page a little time. I mean, I think of him as the author of the Scorch Trials, honestly, but
yeah.
So I went with Stephen Covey, the author of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, even though he later betrayed his audience by writing a book called The 8th Habit.
Oh no. Yeah. What? Oh, I wish we knew. I wish we knew what the 8th habit is that he didn't know when he was only writing 7.
It was interdependence. I don't know how that's a habit, but.
Yeah. Little Werner needs to fly. I think he's moving on here. I mean, just a legend in this tournament, but a legend outside of it. I recently watched a little bit of the one where he's supposed to die in a flight. You know, when he's filming Fitzcarraldo and he's supposed to take a flight in the jungle and he misses the flight. Like, he's at the airport, but he misses, I think the flight's overbooked or something. And then the plane goes down and there's one survivor. You know this whole story? A woman falls from the plane. I think, honestly, it was like a Boeing thing. And I was like, so trying to make myself feel better. Like, I could probably survive, right? If I fall out of one of these things. Turns out, no, she probably survived because there was no one sitting next to her and the seats fell and that absorbed her. Harrowing journey. Anyways, Werner, you're moving on.
All right, our next matchup is number 3, Illinois versus number 14, Morehead State.
Yeah.
Sean, who you got for Morehead State?
I'm going to pick the winner of the PBA Tour's Battle of the Sexes. I'm talking about Liz Johnson, an 11-time Professional Women's Bowling Association winner of 6 U.S. Women's Open titles, and she defeated a man in 2005, beating Wes Mallott in a televised PBA Tour event.
Wow.
And she ended up winning a regular PBA championship. Also, she's a pro staff member for Turbo Grips and High Five Gear. Liz Johnson.
So they had their own little Battle of the Sexes, but for bowling.
Yeah, and one that, like, people didn't watch or care about, because people are kind of like, hey, I could see a woman being better than a man at bowling. It's not really...
Okay, so you're saying we're not going to see Emma Stone as Liz Johnson.
I mean, I want to so bad.
The other guy was.
Well, Liz Johnson is taking on from number 3, Illinois. I yelped when I saw this man's name. It's Ed Boone, who you might not know who he is, but you definitely, he created sort of a battle of the sexes himself. He created the video game Mortal Kombat.
Oh, wow. Okay. A game I was not allowed to play as a child.
So, you know, same. If you want to see Sonya Blade, Sonya Blade ripping out Johnny Cage's spine, you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I was allowed to play Street Fighter 2. But I guess when you reach into a man's heart and pull it out, chest and pull out his heart, that's where the parents draw the line.
I believe that game made like there's actually two different people from BYU who are in their notable business alumni for making products that block video games like Mortal Kombat. And then there's another guy who is the CEO of a company who does that for streaming services. And it's not clear what it does when it encounters adult content or profanity, but I think it just shorts it out and it's just blank for that point.
Just a Bible verse appears. Yeah. Well, Liz, you're losing this battle of the sexes to old Eddie B. Boone. He just finished you.
Yeah. He finished her.
Fatality. All right. Our next matchup is number 10 Drake versus number 7 Washington State. Sean, who is going up for Drake?
I'm picking a Hollywood legend. It's a screenwriter who burst on the scene with his first project in 1999 called Fight Club, and then wrote one other screenplay. The movie Jumper, starring Hayden Christensen. I'm talking about Jim Yules. Movie IMDb page. Fight Club, Jumper.
Well, Jim Yules is taking on... This is something I don't know if it's ever happened before, Sean. Number 7, Washington State. He did not graduate from Washington State because he went and graduated from another... college in this tournament. It's Dolph Lundgren.
What?
Excuse me? I already cleared my brain. Yeah, Dolph Lundgren references, and now you're telling me that I got to bring
Dolph
him back?
Dolph Lundgren is back in the tournament, baby.
This is incredible.
He truly is an army of one. So, how did this happen? You guys are Hollywood insiders. How does a guy write Fight Club? Like, you know, a critically acclaimed, popular, successful movie, only write one other movie that was, I guess, based on the Third Eye Blind song, and then that's it?
My bet would be he is a very lucrative job as a script doctor now and just
and does not get credits.
Get credit. That would be my guess.
Okay. I think that's got to be.
Yeah, because otherwise it just feels like... How?
I mean, unless
Jumper's
like
9 years after Fight Club.
Unless he's like if the book doesn't already exist, I don't know what words to write.
Because Jumper is also based on a critically acclaimed novel
about a man who jumps.
Jumps. He jumps.
Super Mario?
No, he kind of teleports.
Oh, Jumper.
Yeah,
this is starting to sound familiar.
Spacey's in it, I believe.
I had it in my head confused with, is it just called Man on Ledge? A movie about a guy that's
yes,
just standing
there's
up
a
by.
Movie called Man on a Ledge with Sam Worthington, yeah.
Yeah, and this is not that.
No, and it's also not I Am Number 13, which I also confused Jumper with. All
I Am Number 13 comes from that, it's written by that fiction mill. By the guy who Oprah yelled at for his
pieces.
Book.
Yeah.
James Frey.
What's that guy's name?
Yeah.
James Frey. Yeah, yeah.
Who became wildly successful by just being like, I'm just going to write an outline for some shit for teens. And they're like, we'll buy that movie.
Okay, I'm going Cary Yules' brother, Jim.
Yeah.
And... I have a lot of faith.
Wow,
in
Dolph
him.
Getting eliminated again.
I do because like Dolph, he's already out of my head. He can't.
Yeah.
I can't bring him back. I've said every Dolph Lundgren movie I know, for the love of God.
It's true. It is a single elimination.
I was hoping to set up
tournament.
A Carl Weathers. I'll admit it. When I made this, I was hoping to set up a Carl Weathers versus Dolph Lundgren matchup to make up for the fact that Dolph Lundgren killed him.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Yeah.
A real showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yeah. All right. Number two, Iowa State versus number 15, South Dakota State. I'm going to be honest. South Dakota State did not have a rich amount of alumnus. So I had to go with Precious Paul Ellering, who is in pro wrestling, but only as a manager. He's like one of those guys who like only talks into the microphone. And he was the manager of the WWF's The Road Warriors.
Okay.
Wow. Well, a
he
team.
Looks very
so he's
funny.
It's funny because
yeah, I did.
It is when a lot of these alumni things are hard to track down, but one of the sites is extremely wrestling heavy. And weirdly, like college wrestling too, like not just professional wrestling, people who competed in the, I mean, they're all legit matches, but the ones that don't have capes, there's also a lot of like college wrestlers represented.
I would like you to check the chat though, to see what Precious Paul Ellering looks like. Here he is with the Road Warriors.
Okay, so he is not based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
No, he is not.
Okay, just that I just needed to check.
Not dissimilar to Precious Achiuwa, though, I would say.
Yeah, this guy did cocaine. I'm just going to say it. I'm looking at him, and he looks like the face of cocaine.
Do you think someone ever asked him for advice about like, hey, we gotta find some accommodations for a hotel for this whole crew and we got this tour? And he's like, oh, people confuse that. They think I'm a road manager. I'm actually a Road Warriors manager. I can't answer any of those questions.
But also the road manager. It's very confusing. He wore many hats. Many spiked hats.
Yeah. So, you know, we pick a lot of like weirdos and kind of like bad people sometimes. I wanted to honor an academic from Iowa State. This is a research chemist who has a PhD in analytical chemistry. His name's Lionel Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer's dad. Author of the not very popular book, A Father's Story, which came out really close to Jeffrey Dahmer's arrest. Lionel Dahmer, Iowa State student. He blames himself a little bit in that book.
Really close before or after?
Really close after, luckily.
Okay. Like he had it in the...
Suspiciously close. But yeah, that wasn't like one that people necessarily wanted to buy. Apparently it was well reviewed because people were kind of like, wow, I didn't expect to read like a meditation on the evil within all of us. We sort of thought we'd have creepy stories about Jeffrey Dahmer growing up. But
I mean, I was going to say that I'm surprised it wasn't a hit. Like if Dahmer happened today and the father wrote a book about him, that would be a bestseller for sure.
And then he would be on Dancing with the Stars and they'd be like, wow, you're chewing up the dance floor right now. And
he's eaten.
Yeah.
Luckily for him, that's a cool expression these days. So
yeah.
That's wow. I'm going with my man Precious because he's not doing the fighting, but I think he's instructing them on the fighting. And I think he's got a deep playbook about how to get past the next round. So, and I'm not a serial killer guy. I don't even know very much about Dahmer. I'm embarrassed to say. I know
he
wore cool glasses. That's about it.
All right.
You heard it here first. Matt thinks Jeffrey Dahmer is cool. All right, yep. Keep going, Sean.
All right, we're halfway. We're more than halfway home. We're in the second round. Our second round matchup from UConn, Moby facing from Florida Atlantic, Carrot Top. For no hair, one known for hair. A little more muscular than the other because he consumes protein.
I was honestly just thinking, like,
briefly dated Natalie Portman.
Well, if I said, like, Joey, you have to go to dinner with one of these two people, isn't that an exceptionally hard question?
Yes, because for different reasons, but yes, I don't want to go to dinner with either of them.
I did think Moby was very funny on. Did you ever see him on Guy Branum's talk show, The Game Show, Joey?
Mm-mm.
They made him do a game where he wore an Elmer Fudd hat and a fake rifle and pretended to shoot tofu.
That's funny. Very funny.
Okay.
Guy, it's funny.
I mean, Moby didn't write that bit or anything. But,
yeah. you know what? I'm going to go with a man who. I still have hair, and that hair is red. And for that reason and that reason alone, I'm going with Carrot Top and not Moby. And Moby, who do you think's richer, to be honest? It's another interesting
Carrot
question.
Top would be
Carrot Top,
guess.
Yeah. I think Carrot Top's really rich, actually.
But Moby had, like, literally every song from Play licensed
a
thousand times.
He's the first person to do that. But
and what's
I think that Vegas money when you're Carrot Top is, like, astronomical.
Okay. Also, does Moby have to give any of the money to the people whose field recordings he sampled? Because it's mostly, like, do they get anything from the Nissan deal?
They don't, and they don't deserve it. They didn't have his vision, Sean.
Yeah.
Because when they were recording old soul records from the 60s, they didn't have beats yet. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Moby is vegan, and Carrot Top has carrots in his name.
Oh, yeah.
Carrot Top is not vegan.
He was probably distracted.
That's just something to think about. That's just
probably distracted that whole matchup, just rubbing his belly the whole time.
And Carrot Top looks like he's in better shape than Moby. So,
yeah.
Another thing to think
definitely.
About. If you live a vegan lifestyle.
Well, that would be, I would say one of those people has had copious amounts of steroids and plastic surgery done, and the other one
what?
Has not.
I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that about Moby.
Okay. Carrot Top would be like, all right, here's a. It's a turntable, and then attached to the turntable, there's a stick and there's a wig on the top. So that's for Moby.
It's a lawn, so you gotta mow it. Okay, this is a tough matchup. San Diego State's Carl Weathers versus Auburn's Jimmy Buffett. Two men who are probably smoking a doob together
just
in the afterlife.
Good vibes. Good vibes.
Yeah. Very, very good vibes here. I'd like Carl to advance here because I do feel bad that we've eliminated Dolph twice.
Yeah. it's a rough one for the Stallone verse. All right, now we've got from Duquesne, Werner Herzog will be fighting Illinois' Ed Boon, the mortal combatter himself.
Oh, God, how has there not already been a Werner Herzog documentary about Mortal Kombat? He would have a lot to say about the human condition as seen
in moves.
I'm
he
going
throws ice.
I'm going Werner.
Get over here. all right. And then Jim Ewells versus Precious Paul Ellering. Not our strongest second round.
I was
going to
say the weakest by far. Did Precious ever manage another wrestling duo?
He has, actually. I can tell you their names. Hold on.
Okay, good.
Also, when you're looking it up, I want you to tell me, is it more than one other one? Because if so, he's more prolific than Jim Ewells, and he's going to get the victory.
Yes, it is. He has also managed Authors of Pain and The Final Testament.
Authors of Pain?
He's in the WWE Hall of Fame. And the professional wrestling of Hall of Fame. Yeah, he still manages Authors of Pain, I believe, are current.
Oh, that's Sally Rooney and Emma Klein.
Yeah.
I will say Paul Ellering had a notable feud with Jesse Ventura. They were both very muscular and they had a weightlifting contest. Mm-hmm. And this is crazy. Paul Ellering was prepared to win this weightlifting contest, but Jesse Ventura attacked him and he had to be taken off on a stretcher. I don't know if he was okay.
I hope he's okay enough to run in this next presidential election. So
he also competed in the Iditarod three different times.
Holy hell! I'm going Precious on this one.
All right, I don't know why I was making such a compelling case for him, but what a life! All right, we made it to the Sweet 16. Carrot Top versus Carl Weathers, Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State, a beach matchup.
Wow. Action Jackson himself. I am sad to say that I think Carrot Top in a physical fight could take Carl Weathers. And for that reason, Carrot Top advances.
Carrot Top. Congratulations, Carrot Top. Now we've got Werner Herzog versus Precious Paul Ellering.
Precious Paul. Let's go Werner. Let's go Werner on this
Legion
one.
Of Doom. All right, and finally, maybe our greatest matchup we've ever had in Alumni March Madness.
I think it is. I think it might be.
Carrot Top versus, you know how sometimes the quarterfinals, the real championship game, this is like when Duke played Kentucky and Christian Laettner stomped on Jamal Mashburn's chest and stayed in the game in the regional final. Carrot Top versus Werner Herzog.
I want to play in the spirit of this game, and I honestly think that Werner Herzog is too popular and too cool to be in this tournament. I think he's a ringer. So I would like to see, could Carrot Top do it on his own? Could, through a mixture of lifting weights, humor and prop building in a giant shed, could he develop the tools to win this thing? And I think he could, and I'd like to see that. So Carrot Top, you're advancing.
This is
what I will
amazing.
Say about that matchup is I think that's the first matchup we've ever had where both contestants have eaten a shoe as a bit.
Well, I'm excited because this year we have this idea for the concept. Usually we put this up to a poll and a vote to see who moves on. This year, I think we're going to have people advocate for the finalists. Right, Joey? And I think that'll be very interesting. So our East champion, Carrot Top. Our West champion, Jimbo Mathis from the Squirrel-Led Zephyrs.
Insane. Insane.
This is a great... You did it again, Matt. You did it again.
Is this good?
Is this bracket good? This bracket's great.
Yes, I can certify that. Very good.
Because last year, I didn't like it that Chris Farley was in the Final Four.
No, it happened to be... You know, it's all about matchups.
Sure.
And he kind of advanced. And once he was in the Final Four, it was like... He was kind of unbeatable, even though in our hearts we were kind of like Bernie from Weekend at
Bernie's. Yeah, I really wanted Terry. I tried to rig it so Terry Kaiser won, and it didn't work.
It's just more interesting because, you know, for engagement, don't you want people to be looking at your poll and going, who?
Yeah. I mean, it's been too, like, Huell Hauser maybe was an undeserving Final Four, but Nancy Grace was a really strong one. So, you know, it just, you never know. Sometimes we want to educate people about time bombs.
It's the unpredictability.
But that's the spirit. It's the ball is tipped.
It's the unpredictability
and there you are.
Of the tournament.
But how cool will it be when Jimbo looks at Carrot Top across the court and says, "See you in hell," and then the accordion kicks in. I mean, it's gonna be, if I may say so myself, a one shining moment.
Yeah. Matt, can I ask you a sort of...
We're about to listen to One Shining Moment.
Yeah, this recording takes, you know, an hour and a half, and then Joey spends 12 hours making the One Shining Moment montages for each episode based on a song I recorded in 4 minutes. I will say, as a Canadian living in America, is it weird that there's such a big deal about college sports? I mean, you've probably acclimated to that, but is it still strange as a Canadian that that exists?
Yeah, that honestly, it feels better living in Los Angeles than it did in Atlanta, because in Atlanta, people cared way more about SEC and all those schools and hooking them horns and go dogs. In Atlanta, it used to be a joke, like from all, because I moved down to Atlanta with five other Canadians. And people would just use, like, if you don't know what to say in a conversation anymore, you could just say go dogs and people just accept it. You know, like, all right, well, we called, you know, called the Uber, and so I was like, oh, go dogs. You'd be like, okay, yeah, that's people. That's an acceptable thing to say there. And I do find that people here in California talk about it a lot less. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like college sports.
No, you're correct about that. Okay. Yeah.
Which is good. It's a definite bonus to living here. Yeah. So I don't have to pretend to know where what's the cocaine. What's the school called?
Duquesne is in Pittsburgh, apparently.
See, yeah. I would never have guessed that. I would have said New Orleans. Doesn't it sound like a New Orleans-y kind of word?
I don't even know why. Well, it's...
And also, why was Werner Herzog there?
Why would that be the place he chooses from Munich?
At the confluence of three rivers, there is a school. You know, like, I don't know.
Oh, it's this makes sense. It's named after an 18th century governor of New France, Michel Ange Duquesne de Menneville. That would be a college in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Oh, okay. This is why. It's because in the French and Indian War, he made a fort where Pittsburgh is. So that makes sense. Fort Duquesne is, he just named. He's a real... real egoist, I'm gonna say.
Do you think?
Warner, and then Fort Duquesne got almost immediately destroyed, and they built Fort Pitt. So that's that name won out. We would be talking about the Duquesneburg Penguins, otherwise.
If your fort's not Ticonderoga, I'm not interested. First of all. Mm-hmm.
Or minor for me, but yeah, otherwise, yeah.
I was going to ask you, do you think Werner went to Primanti Brothers and was like... I was quite shocked to find the French fries not on the plate.
Yeah,
for they were inside the sandwich.
He actually followed around Terry Bradshaw trying to figure out his mating habits for a while there, too.
All right, that's our episode. Listen to Is This Good? Yeah. Matt's podcast.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have anything else you want to plug? Plug whatever. Yeah.
Anything else you want to plug? Yeah.
No, go search Is This Good with a question mark, because you want punctuation in the title of a podcast. That is very helpful, I found. And look it up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is. We ask questions of sort of modern life, modern etiquette. Just give me your quick opinion on this one. Spraying people with those water cannons at theme parks, is that good? You know what I mean? Like when you're coming down a river raft ride and there's people on a bridge shooting water guns at you.
I mean, I think like it's too expensive. No. I like it because it's I think it's an adaptation. It gets people into it, but also it is a market correction to a lot of those rides that promise that you may get wet and you will get soaked. And the Rip Roaring Rapids don't do it on their own. They need some artificial stuff. And I like that it's a kind of a wholesome dirtbag activity for an 11-year-old with a lot of quarters.
Yes, to target a dad with a Bluetooth headset.
And I think if you're using the quarters on those, you're not just scratching them into the wooden rails over and over again, making grooves, which is the other thing you would do at a theme park with a quarter. So that's my thought. I think it's a market correction.
Okay.
Although I will say Knott's Berry Farm, weirdly enough, extremely soakable log flume ride. They got it right there at Knott's Berries Farm, where their slogan is, we're $25 cheaper than Disneyland. That's the theme of their park.
All right. Well, thanks for your opinion. That I'm going to cut that out of this show, and then that all
perfect.
That'll be. I don't want to have to record a show next week. So yeah, just look up Is This Good. We asked questions like we asked Sean and Joey when they were on last time. Of Military Time was good, and as you might imagine, they were both very into it. So that's the show. Check it out.
As for me,
Sean, buy America's Uncle Dad.
Hey,
seven-minute bit about Military Time. There actually is like a five-minute bit about the song 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. So I kind of forgot that was on it. But yeah, that's something I've been forgetting to do live because, you know, the people demand Paul Simon be taken down a peg. So I also recorded a podcast about trekking to Mount Everest. And the guy said, that's great. It'll come out in a couple of months. So eventually check out the Trails Worth Hiking podcast. I will release some audio this week from the show I did on side of Mount Everest, which is only jokes about trekking to Mount Everest. So limited audience. You kind of have to know the differences between Dingboche and Tengboche to truly appreciate it. But I think people will like it.
No, your Reinhold Messner chunk was killing.
Yeah.
It was so good. Base camp. You got to hike like 3,000 feet just to get here.
Yeah.
How could it be the base camp?
Good.
And then good as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on 4/30/15, I tweeted at Wikipedia, how do I get someone to stop writing false information on my Wikipedia page? It's really frustrating. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all vote in the tournament. Check our Twitter at Round Rock Pod to do that. We're and fill out David Roth's half of the bracket when we release it or whatever. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Bye. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
The birds are in misery. I don't think they sing. They just screech in pain.
I'm gonna make it hard to live.
Ay, caramba.
Nibbling on sponge cake.
The ball is tipped. There you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. In all the years, no one knows just how hard you worked. But now it shows. In one shining moment, it's all on the line. One shining moment, they're frozen in time.
His family knows him as Scott Thompson. You know him as Carrot Top.
I'm Dr. Beverly Whipple.
Can I say I am Precious Paul?
Hi, I'm Obi.
Drunk ass dad.
The time is short and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, oh, that moment's gone. And when it's done, we don't lose. You always did your best, cause inside you knew
in afterlife.
The one shining moment you reached deep inside. One shining moment you knew you were alive.
I'll be your crying soldier.
Your heart, feel the wind in your face. It's more than a contest, it's more than a race. When it's done, win or lose, you always did your best, cause inside you knew
the
one shining moment you reach for the sky. One shining moment you knew. One shining moment you were willing to try. One shining moment. One shining moment.
nibbling on sponge cake.